The church has been persecuted throughout the different ages, and it has been persecuted for the sake of the gospel. And if you look at your notes there, I sort of draw a circle and sort of try to highlight just something that's sort of interesting as I was going through the text and couldn't help but notice. The Philippian church was a church that was standing up for the gospel in their community. They were a church that were under fire, under persecution, for the sake of the gospel. Paul makes a comparison in verse 29 that of the previous chapter, that it was not just appointed for them to believe, but also appointed for them to suffer for the sake of Christ. Well, this is persecution. And although we don't know what exactly they were suffering for, we know that the church, if they were to withstand the persecution, they were to stand united together in, by, for the gospel. It is this unity that Paul proposes that is the solution to help them to be able to endure persecution. We saw last week that it was a sign when they stood firm for the gospel, a sign to unbelievers that the truth of the gospel is true and is a sign of coming judgment for unbelievers. But it is a sign of salvation for the church within. The persecuting church, therefore, must be a unified church. Which sort of brings us to then the question, how do we become unified? It is the gospel that binds us together, that Christ in His condescension, in His humiliation, gives us an example of how we are to have unity within the church. So, think of it this way. I drew a circle. They're being persecuted for the gospel. They're being called to come together in unity for the gospel. And ultimately, it is the gospel that gives them grounds for humility to be able to withstand persecution. So, it sort of draws a full circle. And that's what we see what Paul sort of brings out in our text this morning. In chapters 2 through 11, it is the outworking of the means, mentioned from already the previous section, of what it means to work side by side for the gospel. I sort of teased you last week that I wouldn't be going much into that, what it means to strive side by side for the gospel. Well, this week, we're going to look at what it means to strive side by side for the gospel. We're going to be looking specifically at the first four verses of this. I know I got Gore to read through to verse 11. But as I was studying and preparing for this, I realized that there was so much content here that I wouldn't be able to do justice to what Paul was trying to communicate if I just merely tried covering it all. It would be almost like spreading too thin of butter on toast. So let's take a look at our text and we'll work through this here and we'll see what exactly is this gospel-centered church. What does it mean to have unity? So the first which we're going to look, which I have sort of titled in your notes, is the hopes of the united gospel-centered text. This is where it's important to remember that the chapter and verses are not inspired. I just want to point this out. They're useful, but not inspired, because Paul is still building his case from the previous section. Paul continues in verse 1, in my translation, with the word so. Other translations use the word therefore. Paul's still building his case. If you remember last week, it was about persecution, it was suffering, it was a sign to the Gentiles, to those outside of the church. And he continues it. He follows it with the word if. If is the beginning of a conditional statement. And I was trying to really think through what exactly I would call this. And I think the best description for these, for what he calls the if, the condition, is hope. If you are hoping for this in your church, if you are hoping for this benefit, then is followed by, then you must have this in place. And he lists four different things, sort of as if you hope for this in your church, then you're going to have to do this, which is sort of the next section, unified church. This is what he says, starting in verse 1. He lists encouragement in Christ. 2, comfort from love. 3, participation in the Spirit. And 4, affection and sympathy. These are the good things that a church wants at any time, not just in times of persecution, but also in times when you're not suffering from persecution. So we're going to take a quick glance at each of these things, see what Paul is hoping for the Philippian believers, and in turn, hoping for our own selves here. First he says, encouragement in Christ. Encouragement has the meaning of coming alongside someone to offer assistance to the Christian to persevere through trials. Christ comforts his people. He encourages them through unity of believers in the fellowship of the Word. When we come together and minister to one another with Scripture, Christ is ministering among his people. Second, Paul gives the hopeful benefit of comfort of love. The love referred to here is one that finds its origin in God. It finds its origin in the gospel. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is the love that Paul is talking about. It's a vertical love. And when the church understands this vertical love that comes from God, that cannot be harmed because of Christ, it's only then that we can love people on the horizontal way. And that's demonstrated in the church. So Paul says here, comfort. If there's any comfort of love, he's talking about a church that is comforted by both God and each other in the church. Third, Paul mentions participation in the Spirit. This participation refers to the gospel work that the saints carry out, the Great Commission, by the enabling power of the Spirit. One commentator summarizes it this way. Paul was aware that disunity in the church threatened his partnership with the Philippians. His joint venture with the believers in the church is the mission of proclaiming the gospel would collapse if believers were divided against each other. End quote. If Christians are to have any hope of gospel unity in their community, there needs to be a unity in the church. Which brings me to the fourth of Paul's points, the fourth of Paul's hopes here. Affection and sympathy. The church ought to be characterized by their love for one another. This is somewhat building upon the second point. Affection and sympathy. These people have compassion for one another when someone is experiencing trials in their midst. An ancient church father eloquently states it this way. As the children of the wealthy have the ornament of gold about their neck and never put it off because it exhibits a token of their high birth, so should we, too, wear mercy ever about us. We have been shown great mercy found in the gospel of Christ, as we were once children of wrath, marked for hell, and God has shown us mercy and compassion. So we, too, are to demonstrate that we have been shown the gospel to one another. Which brings me to the point B, the unity of the gospel-centered church. So all of these benefits, all these hopes, these four hopes that Paul was talking about, is premised upon that the church is unified by the gospel. And Paul gives three descriptors of gospel unity in verses 2. The first is the same mind, the second is the same love, and the third, full accord and one mind. So in the order that appear, let's just go through this here. First, we have the same mind. The same mind means that the church is in agreement with one another in their confession of the Lord in doctrinal manners. It's probably something which we don't really think too much about these days in regards to doctrinal manners, but that is what Paul calls us to believe. This is similar to what a statement of faith would be. The church is supposed to be able to defend what she believes and to be able to articulate what she believes, to live it out, and to exhort others within the congregation to believe it as well. This is not just the duty of the pastor's job. Doctrinal unity is a corporate task for the Christian in the church. Second of Paul's points, the same love. The same love is speaking of the devotion to Christ and to others in the church. Nothing really too much to state in regard there. Thirdly, one accord and one mind. Some other translations use united in spirit and intent on one purpose. This is the internal unity of the body. It ought to be for us too great joy. So if we're hoping for what Paul first mentions, if any comfort or encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, then Paul is calling the church to have unity in the area of doctrine, of love, and in unity in purpose. All these things are defined for us in the gospel. And in the following verses, verses 3 and 4, is a transition of how the gospel is to guide us for unity in the church, starting in verse 5. But we won't be looking at verse 5 this morning. Is address what Paul addresses here in verses 3 and 4 is the core of what is disunity in the church. And Paul gives these instructions for gospel unity to attain the hopes that he had mentioned earlier. So let me talk about what I just took the text and I sort of reworked it out to group things together. What Paul calls us not to do, and then what Paul does call us to do. First, he calls us to not act from selfish ambition or conceit, or from our own interest. When a professing believer takes it upon themselves to act from their own selfish motives, they are behaving just like how cancer cells behave in our own bodies. They act autonomously, not corporately with the body, and they harm the original design God has for the body, in this case, the church. A cancer cell's DNA is corrupted, and a cancer cell will harm other cells, consume an incredible amount of resources meant for the life of the body. Likewise, the cancerous member, who is acting from his own selfish ambition, does not function in harmony with the rest of the church body. There is a disharmony in the church, and it cannot function according to biblical standards. It hurts the testimony of the body of Christ, the gospel, to the community. There is no endurance for the church to stand against the trials of persecution, because like the person who has cancer, whose immune system is compromised, their health cannot withstand the simple common cold. But then consider Paul's opposite point, what Paul instructs. In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Look to the interest of others. We are called not to be the cancerous cells of division, but to be the members of one body that builds up one another. Again, this is not just the task of the pastor, but this is the task of the church member. Remember that Paul is not just writing, or Paul was writing this for the church as a whole, not just to members of, to members of the church, not just their leadership. Where do Christians find their example then of humility, of servanthood to their fellow Christian brother or sisters? See, what Paul mentions next here in verses 5 through 11, the Carmen Christi as it is called, the hymn of Christ, is an ancient hymn that the church would have sang together. But I want to hold that out for next time when I am up here and I preach. Which brings me to some points of application. The gospel has to be gotten right for unity. If the church is to experience unity, love, and do missions, we cannot merely have a shallow understanding of the things of God. We need to know who God is, His holiness, our sinfulness, and our redemption that is found in Christ. Unity must be founded upon God's revelation, the revelation of Scripture. We must have doctrinal substance, not sentimentality based upon whims of feelings, a humanistic understanding of the church or a generic deity. Such things are incapable of actually producing actual unity. Unity is to be based upon Scripture, upon the reconciliation of the gospel founded in the Bible. We have to keep learning it. We have to be getting it right. We have to be reciting it to each other, encouraging one another with it. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We must use Scripture to sharpen ourselves for ministry, for the sake of unity. Which brings me to my next point of application. The need to address disunity in the church. I have seen firsthand multiple times where the selfish ambition of a church member causes harm to the testimony of the gospel, making it impossible for the church to reach the community because of the scandal. This is where loving church discipline must be practiced to first win the wayward brother back, or brother or sister back to Christ, and second, so that the testimony of the church is not harmed. Selfish ambitions, rogue members, must be dealt with in the church so that there can be unity in the church. Which brings me to my last point of application. Unity under fire. This is somewhat echoing my last point. If we are going to be able to thrive underneath persecution, gospel-centered unity then is the vaccine that we must administer to ourselves now to be able to persevere later. I know that in talking to a number of us here, that we are concerned with reaching out to those in our community, in our family, and our friends. It's a high priority. And at the same time, I know that we have the ambition to be able to withstand possibly the coming persecution. We need to heed Paul's advice here as to what we are to be doing, to have unity in the things that matter most. And it's the gospel that will give us unity, teach us humility to be able to live with one another. Let us remember this as we go our coming week. Let me pray. Father, I know that we have loved ones who don't know You, that we long for, that we long to see in heaven. And You have given us the task of reaching the gospel to them. Father, I ask that as we are looking at this text, as we are meditating about it, as we are discussing it this coming week, and as we look forward to the example which Christ gave us in verses 5 through 11, that You would teach us to be faithful witnesses, that we would have a unity in our church that would be able to persevere, to withstand the trials that are ahead of us. Father, I ask that you would bless us this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.